Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
My life is a cage, but on stage I'm free, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Harry Kane got bind through and Man City are in action tonight. It's Wednesday, 6th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Ernie Russell.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. And thanks to friend of the Ramble, Gareth Beavis, for giving us that intro line. You can submit the intro line for next Wednesday show by signing up to our Patreon for just $5 a month. You'll also get ad-free versions of The Ramble, OTC and Upfront, as well as an extended version of every Wednesday's Ramble. We call it Ramble Uncuts, everybody. The stuff we say on there, Pete Donaldson, should quite frankly get us in court.
I've got so many things to talk about this week.
Yeah, me too.
I think I know that, Gareth Beavis. He works for Saga.
Really?
There you go.
Ah.
So, sponsorship in the post.
There we are. Hopefully. Head to patreon.com/footballramble if you never want to hear Saga again.
Mm.
Right. Champions League.
Yes.
It's back, baby. It happened last night. Bayern Munich 3, Lazio 0. Smokey Morris is out, Jim.
Smokey Morris is out, yeah. The idea that Bayern might completely fluff this was nice while it lasted, wasn't it? But I think we all knew that they were going to turn this around.
Was it nice, Jim? They've got two Englishmen playing for them.
I'm not that bothered about that.
Really?
Oh, has this turned you all pro Bayern? That's interesting.
Well, you got to
what
think
a twist.
You got to think of the big picture, Andy, haven't you? I want Englishmen to win in Germany. It starts here.
Right, you want the muscle memory to be there.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, you say that it was kind of a foregone conclusion. I understand why you say that, Jim, because that's what happened. But when Ciro Immobile had that chance, Andy Brassel.
Didn't he?
His teammate, who was on the edge of the box, couldn't remember who it was, fell flat on his face and hit the ground when he missed that.
Mm.
He knew it'd gone.
I don't think it was as clear a chance.
What
as
was the XG?
Made out, actually.
What was the XG
so,
there?
I couldn't tell you.
I thought it was an absolute sitter.
It came at him so fast, though, and it's from a tough angle. I know we're talking about a high level at the Championship.
And we're talking about two people in the room who have very different football skills, is that fair?
Yeah. That's probably fair.
Do you think
actually,
that makes it...
My right, benchmark is offered. I couldn't do that.
Wow.
Rosenthal, you forget.
Let's see if that makes a difference. How good do you think Kylian Mbappe is at football? Because I just think he's okay.
Yeah.
Farmers League. He's only ever done it in a Farmers League.
Well, either way, it was a chance that...
Who scored over 200 Serie A goals, he should have been putting it away.
Yeah, but it wasn't in Serie A, Andy. Maybe that's why he missed it.
Who knows? Probs, eh?
The big story of the night, of course, was that Eric Dier got a clean sheet on his Champions League debut for Bayern. Lovely to see!
You're right, that is the big story.
in the week that he's had his contract extended, of course. He's made a massive impression there at the moment, which tells you two things. Firstly...
Bayern are a mess.
Yes, well, that is one of them.
It tells you two cool things, Andy.
Yes, it does. It does. I think the other thing it tells you is that...
You never gave us the first one.
What Eric... Pete gave you the first one.
Sorry, yeah.
But Eric Dier is actually really undervalued, I think. I think by English football culture generally and English football watchers, just because he didn't fit Spurs or what Spurs were doing for quite a while.
Blame Spurs.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we can do that with Bayern about to lose the league anymore. But I think the fact is that he has made a massive impact at Bayern, not just in terms of playing. And yes, there are a lot of holes in the squad. And he's someone who's quite versatile, so he can cover a lot of those holes. But he's been given a lot of responsibility early on. And what he's brought to the dressing room, while still learning to speak German, is really impressive, actually. People really like him, and they signed him up as soon as possible.
Yeah, are they treating his brother well? Okay, that's crucial.
It is crucial because it's a much bigger climb into the stands in the Allianz Arena.
Yeah, you got to treat...
And he's Dyer's brother well.
You've got to treat Harry Kane's brother with contempt. That's what you've got to do if you want to get the best.
Treat him well, but from a distance.
Yeah, fair. Well, Harry Kane, of course, scored a couple of goals.
Of course he did.
Jim Campbell.
Yeah,
he's got 33 goals in all competitions for Bayern this season.
I'm not surprised at all. The way he mops up those second balls so well, doesn't he? There was never, with either goal really, there was never any doubt he was going to score. Although I think probably Thomas Müller's was the goal of the night. The way, like, just... takes that off of De Ligt's shot. Delicious.
He fooled everybody, including the commentary team. Absolutely.
Do you think there's a sort of older brother, little brother thing with De Ligt and Dier going on? They are.
Like,
if you're only half paying attention, you could mistake one for the other, couldn't you?
Yeah. Do you think Dier's, I mean, what has he played? I think 8 games in total, there or thereabouts for Bayern so far since he's been there. I mean, is he going to get ahead of De Ligt and Kim? I know he did last night ahead of Kim, he was on the bench, but I mean, they're two sort of big hitters, are they not?
Yeah, and Kim is the best defender they've got.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he's to plug gaps. That's what he's there for. I mean, they always made it quite clear that they were going to use him as a central defender, but the fact that they were unable to get Palinha or anyone else defensive midfield wise made me think they'll probably end up using him there at some point.
Unlike
maybe if they're in the back end of the Champions League, that's what they do. They use him in just a little bit in front of Kim De Ligt. But it depends who they get next round, depends how deep they go, doesn't it?
Pete Donaldson, people have been having a little chuckle about Harry Kane going to Bayern Munich, and they're quite clearly not going to win the league this season.
Right, okay.
But they're still in the Champions League. Now, it's a tall order, of course, because there are some quality teams left in the Champions League. But the Champions League final is at Wembley. How about this? You are very excited about the Euros come this
I am
summer.
Excited about
it's
the Euros.
It's only a few months away, lest we forget.
I know.
Harry Kane, to a lesser extent, Eric Dier.
How lesser an extent?
Well, Harry Kane, they finish the season strongly in Germany, of course, then go to Wembley for the final of the Champions League, win that trophy there, back to Germany, and win another trophy. How does that sit with you?
Well, I'd prefer him to go... I'd prefer Bayern to go out of the Champions League and then him get incredibly upset and just down tools for the rest of the season so that he's fresh for the Euros. Wouldn't that not
full
be
of morale.
Situation? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Full of good vibes.
We wouldn't want him too happy, would we?
No, exactly.
Okay.
Imagine if it was such a culture of publicly slagging everyone off at Bayern is that Kane turns up for his first England press conference of the summer and goes, I think my teammates are all twats apart from Jim.
apparently, Thomas Tuchel, only his second win in 7 knockout matches as a Bayern coach, by the way, he during his pre-match team talk, he kicked a box and broke his toe.
Lest we forget, in the Champions League final, he was involved. The first Champions League final he was involved in, he was about in crutches.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he did that the first time as well.
What is going on?
He retired quite early. That's probably stop kicking stuff, Thomas.
What do you do? Like, is that to does that inspire people? I've just broke my toe for you, boys. Or does that kind of take the shine off what you were trying to do?
Yeah. Does it sort of are you constantly flinching because you don't know what's coming next? Could there be some sort of accidental projectile coming towards you at any time if Tuchel was in the
Ferguson
room?
It.
Yeah, true. I don't think it like hit one of the players and then wore an Alice band, Beckham style.
Well, sure, you know, not yet.
Not yet. Well, Tuchel has lost 24% of his matches as Bayern boss, which is the worst percentage since Soren Lerby was manager in the 91-92 season. So that shows you how badly he's been doing as Bayern boss. He has also got the lowest win percentage since Louis van Gaal in 2009 to 2011. So it's not going very well, Andy. Now, the big chat, of course, now is Xabi Alonso seems to be heading towards Bayern Munich. Surely that's where he's going to go. That makes perfect sense.
No, I think it's a bit premature.
Do you think he'll stay at Bayer Leverkusen?
I think he might. I think he hasn't decided yet.
He's not going to go to Liverpool, surely, or Real Madrid now.
He's not going to go to Real Madrid because Ancelotti signed an extended contract to 2026. But Liverpool, I don't think it's completely off the table. I think it's interesting that the line peddled by Sky Germany, which is where the report has come from, has said that maybe following Klopp is like a bit too much of a mountain.
It is. Totally.
Which to me feels like quite a German perspective on it as well. Mm. But look, I don't think you can completely rule it out that he will stay at Leverkusen for next year because he gets to have a go at the Champions League with them. He knows that these jobs will still be here for him down the line, especially at Bayern and Real Madrid, because they tend to change coaches every couple of years anyway.
There would be something really, really bleak about him just going straight to Bayern. We've seen it a million times, more so with players than coaches, I suppose, although it's, you know, true with coaches as well, Bayern just sort of sucking up all the best talent there. And it would be genuinely kind of just refreshing to see him stay in the post. And as you say, have a proper tilt at the Champions League, because we're in a strange situation at the moment where two of the best teams in Europe are playing in the Europa League
and are
about to meet each other at some point. Mm. And that's, I suppose, indicative of quite how well both of those teams are doing from a position that you might not have expected them to.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a fair comment. I think whatever happens, he'll stay in Germany, whether it's a Bayer Leverkusen or he moves to Bayern Munich. I mean, with Leverkusen, they've never won the Bundesliga in their history, which I find incredible.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it?
Finished second a fair few times. I mean, Bayer Leverkusen, of course.
Is there much of a narrative around that, Andy? Like, is there a bit of a fear of the Leverkusen thing happening again in Germany?
Not now.
I think
10 points clear.
Less so, but it's the way they're playing.
Yeah,
it's the way they're playing.
Still
as well.
Unbeaten,
they're just the way they respond to everything, the way they react to everything. Uh-huh. It feels like Alonso has just filled the players with such confidence. They've got every possible scenario under control. Yep. They win games in so many different ways. I mean, the thing is, if you look at it, we talked about the stats with Tuchel there, but statistically, up until Leverkusen beat Bayern, like comprehensively, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, up until that point, Bayern had the sixth best start statistically in Bundesliga history.
Wow.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah.
And yet still, they couldn't get anywhere near Leverkusen. That's how good they are. But I guess the other side of what you were saying about it would be sad if he moved on at this point and wouldn't he stick there for a season? As you say, Marcus, they've never won it before. So you think, can it get any better?
Well, that's my point, they're on for the Bundesliga. They've got a great chance at Europa League. I mean, the last major trophy they won was, what was it, mid-90s, the German Cup, I think.
Yeah, and they should win the Pokal as well. And then, I mean, you're looking at a treble.
Yeah, and then they won the old UEFA Cup. not the treble.
I mean,
Cup in the mid to late 80s. You know, that's what they've got. So there'll be a lot of Bayer Leverkusen fans who have never seen them win a trophy or don't have any memory of it.
Yeah, and they probably won't want me to be talking about the treble because, of course, they are the team that blew a treble in 9 days.
Yes. Yeah, they blew the treble. They're fighting for Danny Murphy over there.
What sort of team are they putting out in the not Champions League this year, though? Is it just a little bit easier not being in the Champions League and not having your biggest players kind of playing week in, week out? Well, has this aided them?
They've got a good enough squad to shuffle. So, I think you're right. That might make a difference.
Granit Xhaka's a difference, eh?
Granit Xhaka's a massive difference.
Him and his hamstring, his solid, strong hamstring.
I mean, that would be fun, wouldn't it? Him going to, say, Liverpool and taking Granit Xhaka with him. Imagine that. it's like you can imagine him going, he's one of the people, maybe the person he trusts most on the pitch.
Yeah.
That's the Alonso effect.
Yeah, that's the leaving Arsenal effect.
It's the Xhaka effect.
It's the Xhaka effect.
You say that like he wasn't brilliant for Arsenal for the past two seasons.
I think,
but in a very different role. In a very, very different role.
I just remember the time when you all booed him, Jim.
Yeah. I was there. I wasn't booing.
Yeah.
Xhaka is
I was saying booing.
Is the sound that Radiohead do in Creep, Johnny Greenwood.
Yes,
Xhaka!
Is that what it is?
Very aggressive.
You could have gone for Xhaka Khan.
Why?
That's too obvious.
That's not aggressive enough. No. Xhaka!
But it's loving. And I think that's...
It's loving.
And if you look at what Alonso's doing to Bayer Leverkusen, right. It's tender, loving football.
There is, I promise you, having watched him for a long time, there is a lot of both in Granit Xhaka.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I whatever Alonso does, I'm quite sure he'll stay in Germany. And it would be very much to Harry Kane's benefit if he went to Bayern, let's be clear. Because if he stays at Bayer Leverkusen...
Bigger picture, lads. Bigger picture.
Is that Charlie Kane an impression of?
Yeah, that's right.
I saw Charlie Kane on a flight from Leverkusen a few months ago, and he has a blue passport. That's news.
Yeah, but if he's renewed...
Yeah, I know. It wasn't a choice, I'm just saying.
That's it.
I just looked at him and went, grow up, Charlie, with your new passport.
Yeah. Should he have coloured it in differently?
Yeah, colour it brown. Go on.
Get a passport holder.
Exactly. Yeah.
Get a little Bayern or a Harry Kane thing.
They're always a faff, aren't they?
Imagine that if he had a Harry Kane branded passport holder show up in the airport. He would be the best look.
He'd be trying to flog him, wouldn't he? Yeah. Let's be clear. Elsewhere in the Champions League last night, Real Sociedad lost 2-1 to Paris Saint-Germain. And of course, 4-1 on AG. Kylian Mbappe scored twice.
Talking about
AG. I thought he was really good, Marcus. I know you don't rate him that highly.
He definitely put in a shift.
He certainly did.
Yeah.
He really looks like a superhuman in some context, doesn't he?
Yes.
The very clear optic difference between him and whoever he's absolutely skinning is just phenomenal sometimes.
It was interesting the way that Luis Enrique, because of course there's been all the discussion over the relationship with them over the last week and a half, it sort of escalated. He was asked about it again in the press conference afterwards, which has been annoying Luis Enrique. And when he's annoyed, he doesn't shut down. He really gets stuck into journalists.
Journalists know that, Andy?
Oh, they definitely know that. It was interesting how he framed it, though, last night. They asked him about Mbappe and what everything that's happened over the last little while. And he said, look, let's be honest. Whoever his manager is, he's going to score 50 goals a season and knock out 25 assists as well. Mm. He's the best player in the world. End of.
Yeah. Oh, he's right. But he won't be playing in Ligue 1 McDonald's next season because McDonald's will be the sponsor of Ligue 1, which I'm all for, quite frankly.
Do you reckon, as a friend of mine suggested to me over text, that maybe he's moved so he won't be dubbed Kylian Mbappe?
Good stuff.
Like it.
The thing is, there will be people looking at this going, well, this makes French football incredibly cheap. Well, firstly, it's French football.
French fries football.
Is that French fries? Freedom fries football.
Freedom fries.
There you go, baby.
That's the international market. But also, they're currently sponsored by Uber Eats. Mm. And there is an Uber Eats delivery driver who delivers the ball to every game.
I like
at the
that.
Moment.
Yeah.
That's good.
Is it's it? Really
Did
not.
Somebody it? Say... League
Yeah, but I mean, they deliver McDonald's, don't they? Don't they?
Yes, I think they do. I think they partner with some either Uber Eats or
so they're just going through the motions in League
or either Deliveroo.
Yeah, we've had enough of your sponsorship, but do you know anybody who might be interested? Yeah.
The only thing we're ever ordering is McDonald's. Let's just go straight there.
Yeah.
Why don't they just have the posts as big French fries?
Yeah, I think
that. And the ball could be a celebrated McDonald's meatball that I've just realised they don't really round stuff.
Yeah, they don't. Or,
it would be good if they sort of the players came out through the golden arches.
Yeah,
wouldn't it? I think that'd be a missed opportunity if they don't do that.
Shrimp pads nuggets.
Select
chicken selects. They're longer for crying.
Surely the apple pies, the red hot apple pies.
when you start screaming.
Mind you, some players like Grealish, that would be just a little chicken McNugget, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Just a little one.
Sorry, Marcus.
Well, I was just going to say, are there any, you know, that apparently, you know, around the world, there are sometimes local dishes at McDonald's, shall we say. Is there anything in France, like a McSnail? They've got a chance to do something there. And France, they love their food. They're very good at it. So surely they should partner with McDonald's.
Put a truffle in there.
When we did an At the Match in Istanbul, our good friend Sam, who was taking photos and video for us out there,
a McKebab.
He went and had a McDurum.
Ooh, what's that now?
Yeah.
Horrid, apparently.
Oh.
Well, is that Durham wheat? What's Durham?
No, Durham is like it's like a kebab.
Okay, right. I'm looking at the McDonald's menu. I mean, it's pretty standard stuff. They've got
I think
cheeseburger royale. Which is, we all know what that
although is. Famously, you can get a pint in McDonald's, can't you?
That is true, yeah. Yeah, no.
Though with French fans' records for, like, you know, chucking receptacles at players and getting games abandoned, probably not the best mix.
Can you get a pint of wine in McDonald's? Asking for a former England manager.
I bet that there's nowhere in France where they will give you a pint of wine. Yeah. You can have a pint and you can have some wine, but you cannot have a pint of wine.
You have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And if you do,
and
it'll
still be kicked out.
Yeah. Just a few old English gentlemen outside.
There's a veggie paprika. Paprika's always a big kind of like continental kind of flavour.
Very Hungarian.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
McFagra. I just can't get that out of my mind.
In a little pot like like tomato sauce.
Well, the possibilities are endless for your France there, so do get involved. We thoroughly recommend.
Marcus, you're a big Star Wars head. You know, I just said that for a linking reason. But did you see the Star Wars Chilean advert thing that came out this week?
No, I didn't.
Apparently back in the, I think, early 90s when they put Star Wars, when they put any film on the television, they would try and tie in the advertising so they wouldn't have to go to an ad break. So that at one point, I don't know, Obi-Wan Kenobi's like opening like a box to give Luke Skywalker, I don't know, fucking silly swords or something.
Oh.
And they'll cut in a video of some hands just pulling out like a thevetha.
Very nice.
Laser. Yeah.
Wow.
It's really funny stuff.
I like how you just said the word for beer in Spanish.
Well, because I think that's what Chilean cerveza.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, let's stay in South America if we can, or with South American people at least. Did you see that Spurs man Richarlison got a bit cheeky, apparently, to Antonio Conte? Although I say he got a bit cheeky, that's actually to do Richarlison a disservice. He got very blunt with Antonio Conte.
He did.
This was in an interview with Brazilian journalist Fred Bruno this week, who was talking to Emerson Royal, or Royale, should I say, who gave some information about Richarlison's mix-up with his former coach Antonio Conte. So Richarlison was late for a game day meeting, and Conte said to him, he wasn't the only one, there was a few people who were late. When they came in the room, Conte said, well, do you want to say something? Do you want to apologise to the rest of the team? And according to Emerson, some of the other latecomers sort of sheepishly apologise as one would, especially when Antonio Conte is firing that at you, and you know you are late for an important meeting. Richarlison seemingly misunderstood Conte and basically thought this is a chance for me to say
how
some
I'm
stuff.
Feeling about
yeah.
things. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
If you're asking, I'm telling.
Yeah. If this is an open forum, I've got some thoughts.
Yeah, right. And he said, I think I need more minutes on the pitch. The formation was no good. I didn't adapt to it. In fact, the formation is shit, is what he said. Which, even on a one-on-one with Conte, if you'd worked with him for a while, and he really was trying to ask your most honest thoughts, that would still be a bit stronger, I think.
Yeah. I guess maybe you're thinking, could I have a lower status here? Probably not.
It's unbelievable. I just hearing that, I thought, how is he still alive?
I just think it's nice that there are hapless people in all walks of life.
But how do you think Conte?
He's a bit Larry David, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so. There's, fans of Curb Your Enthusiasm will be aware that the last season of it is airing at the moment, so there will be a vacuum soon. Uh-huh. I'm thinking some sort of all or nothing with Richarlison might just naturally take its place, even if it isn't meant to be a comedy.
So who would be as Richard Lewis at Spurs then?
Oh,
would it be Emerson Royal?
Possibly. It's hard to say. God bless Richard Lewis.
Yeah, it can't be Eric Dier.
No.
That we know.
Charlie Kane, isn't it? Kind of fits.
He's no longer connected to Spurs, we think.
Good point.
Yeah. I just thought it was brilliant. I wonder, though, if Conte, if that's what you've got to do to kind of maybe earn his respect or just blindside him so much that he kind of lets you off.
Mm. Right.
It's a bit like in nature, apparently, where if elephants stampede you, apparently if you stand your ground, they run up to you to a close distance, and then they'll just stand there and then they'll just like kick the floor, like basically like kick dust at you. They won't actually go through with the stampeding. I think that's maybe what you do with Conte. You just got to stand your ground.
I really don't want to see Richarlison try that though.
I was in Kenya once and a man showed me his elephant whip.
Ooh.
It was beautiful.
Is this a euphemism?
Peter, I don't think that's a thing.
It was massive.
What else did he show you, or should we not talk about it? Oh, dearie me. All right, everybody. Well, on Monday night, Andy and I recorded Ramble Reacts after Sheffield United were slapped 6-0 by Arsenal. We asked how it's got this bad at Bramall Lane. Now, reports that Mikel Arteta was seen eating a sandwich in front of Chris Wilder are as yet unconfirmed. So do get that episode below in your podcast app. Now, coming up after the break, we've got some Chelsea chat. We've got tonight's games, of course, and a suggestion that Sean Dyche might save the United Kingdom. See you in a minute.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm bored watching Newcastle.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Peter, I believe you got an email.
I have, yes, from Percy Preston after discussing Forest chairman Evangelos Mananakis's, talents, I suppose, on Monday. Prompted by Monday's episode, says Percy, I decided to look up Forest chairman Evangelos Mananakis's. Wikipedia page lists him, amongst other things, as a media mogul, ship owner, and curiously, a lyricist.
Ooh.
It turns out that he wrote the lyrics to Exapsi, or Excitement, a song by the Greek pop star Natasa Theodoridou. Perhaps predictably, given their author, the lyrics have some sinister undertones, including described as describing a loved one's presence like a silent scream.
Oh, bloody hell.
I also looked at that song, and it's in your kiss, in your arms, in the curse and the wish, we will all burn together.
Oh. Yeah, it sounds like it's
a ode to Nottingham Forest.
Well, it sounds like a coded threat, doesn't it? You know how
sounds like an insurance scam.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. So, like, Lord Byron would get around not being able to sort of say certain things by just writing poems about how he thought certain people were complete dickheads.
Right.
We'd just,
okay,
have a lovely time just skirting the rules that way.
Yeah. His burgers are good, though.
Very good, very good. Very burgery show today. I'm here for it.
I thought that was a welcome comment.
I agree.
As you know, I'm a big hugger, Peter. Mm. Maranakis, he looks very cuddly, shall we say.
I'd say so, yeah. You could get a few minutes.
Are
out
you
of
saying
him.
He is the Premier League chairman you would most like a hug off?
Definitely yeah. not, Andy.
I'd like him topless on a bearskin rug.
Yeah.
Would you know?
Would I know?
In front of an open fire.
Yeah, open fire, bearskin rug, a lot of jewellery.
No one else is around.
No one else is around.
And this is what, like a sort of like performance review or...
No, it's sex. I want to have sex.
Okay. Just wanted to
bear of a man.
I think he does look like a good hugger, but the fear with Marinakis would be that, like...
Goes too far.
Now let go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
And then you'd be like, I will never be seen again.
Exactly. At the start, you'd be like, oh, this is... Oh, no. Oh, blimey. How do I get out?
We will all burn together.
Exactly. And you end up burning together. You have to wait until...
Except he's not burning.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you have to wait for the song to stop. That song particularly. which, yes, it is called Excitement. But sometimes excitement leads to, let's just call it disappointment.
Managerial sackings.
It does, yeah. Well, one man's managerial sacking is another man's disappointment, particularly the person who's been sacked. Another man we mentioned on Monday's episode of the Football Ramble was Matt Letizier and his side hustle peddling CBD products. Jim, for those and myself who are not sure what that is.
Biff the juice is probably how I'd define it. But it's essentially for like relaxation and like a sleep aid, isn't it? Is how it's marketed.
Cannabis oil, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, cannabis oil.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that old Matt broke UK advertising rules in doing so, as did former Arsenal and Celtic striker John Hartson. They didn't tell consumers they were being paid by the retailer, Supreme CBD. And Hartson said the products were magic.
I imagine everything that John Hartson experiences is bloody magic. Yeah. The combustion engine is it's magic.
Three pints of it and I feel magic.
Yeah. How literal
this
was he
being? Moving stairs. Escalator, you see.
So, yeah, mind there you go with all that kind of crap, everybody. Right, back to the Premier League. Reports this week are suggesting that Chelsea could be eyeing up a Maurizio Pochettino replacement. The chat seems to be that his future depends on whether Chelsea can secure European football, which is quite a tall order at the moment.
They have roots, don't they?
They have roots.
Yeah, they've got the league and the cup potentially.
Yes. True. And you think that they will win the FA Cup or finish high enough in the league, Andy?
Well, not necessarily, but they're still in the mix, aren't they?
Strasbourg's in Europe.
Yeah.
Sort of own them as well.
Uh-huh. Wolves?
Yeah, they're not getting in Europe.
Wolves are in Europe.
They are physically in Europe,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are a few other sides, as I was sort of saying, Wolves there, that this would apply to. I'm not confident Chelsea are going to win the FA Cup.
Sure.
And I'm not confident they're going to finish high enough in the league, Jim. Would you agree?
I would agree very, very much so. The reports are that they're looking at potentially Ruben Amorim from Sporting and Roberto De Zerbi. And honestly, I think at this point, Brighton Council should just be calling up Todd Bowley and going, we've got this amazing old pier. It's quite
burned
down, but I promise it's wicked. We'll do it for a really competitive price for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's such a tricky one because at Chelsea, Maurizio Pochettino hasn't really lit the place up that much. I know they got to a final, but let's be honest, they buggered it up when they got there. What do they do? They're getting a bit like Manchester United, if you see what I mean. They've got some talent in that squad, there's no doubt about that. But there's question marks over the board and the owners of the club. Is it a case of you need the right manager?
Imagine thinking firing the coach is the problem.
Yeah.
Or change the coach is the problem. Look, you can have issues with the way Pochettino has approached things tactically sometimes. We've already spoken, I've spoken at length about how it's difficult to totally get a handle on Pochettino's work in recent years, particularly since he's left Spurs. But you look at Amorim and De Zerbi, and the first thing I think is, why would they want to ruin their careers by going there? Really?
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on, you know, Chelsea fans or anything like that.
You're saying it's a bit of a poison chalice at the moment.
Yeah. Like
not until, a long-term project,
until,
is it?
Until no. The club has what can be seen from the outside as a clear plan upstairs, why would you go for it?
Well, and again, it's slightly similar to Manchester United in that regard then.
Mm, yeah.
But with regards to a long-term plan, it's
interesting. At least Manchester United are, you know, making some clear steps to improve.
But
the way the football business runs.
If you're a manager and you want to improve your team, you are slightly limited by fair play, presumably. So
yeah.
Teams like Chelsea and Man United will always be attracted because they've got that global reach and because they've got that income. Mm-hmm. They can spend more money, and so you have a bit. You probably back yourself to sort of go, well, look, I'll have more chance to improve the fortune of the team because I can invest in this side, no matter what they've already got, presumably.
So, what you think that it's just that coach's thing of saying, yeah,
I can change them. Yeah, I can change.
You might back yourself. If you can't. I mean, look at what Pete said. I mean, look at Ruben Amorim at Sporting. I mean, the riches that he would be able to have at his fingertips in the Premier League.
The thing is, though, at Chelsea, though, he's going to have to sell to buy to do that, isn't he? Because they're quite up against it with FFP because of what they've spent already.
I guess going back to Pete's point.
Every year it gets better and better, though, doesn't it? Presumably.
You're going back to Pete's
more of a
point.
Ceiling.
Well, okay. Do the coaches really think like that? Or they just get presented with a project by the board and they go, yeah, that's probably fine, isn't it? Mm.
I'm mainly looking at this figure that involves what's going to be written on my wage slip.
Yes. And if you sack me, I get how much? I think it feels like we're still waiting for the kind of Todd Bowley era to like settle, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
You thought the chaos would be finished by now. And I guess with Pochettino, bringing him in, you know that you're not getting sort of like a new young manager where we don't know what his ceiling is. You know, the idea is you know what you're going to get with Pochettino. And I think they could reasonably expect essentially a sort of a degree of competitiveness, like a baseline level of competitiveness higher than this has been.
Do you think, because I said at the start of the season, there's no way they're making Europe. And I would say what he's done is pretty much par. It's not amazing, but I would say it's par.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting.
The club is a mess.
Yeah, but I think they'd expect to be better than higher than what they're 11th now, aren't they? It's similar to last season.
Well, they're a mid-table side.
Well, but I mean, surely Chelsea can't expect that. Surely Chelsea can't accept that at any level.
Of course they can't. But
so recruit better. Yeah, I mean, that's the answer.
At the moment, when you watch Chelsea. The league table doesn't lie, Jim.
Indeed.
They are playing like a mid-table side. Sometimes, you know, there's no consistency. Sometimes, you know, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Yeah,
you know, that's how it goes. And it was interesting. Claude Makélélé, who's been at the club for a few years, he left, what, about 6 months or a year ago, whenever it was. He gave an interview the other day in The Athletic, and he was talking about how under Abramovich, obviously, towards the end of Abramovich's reign, there was this talk about Chelsea DNA. Now, when people talk about DNAs of clubs, sometimes you think, well, you know, what on earth does that mean? Mm. But sometimes, if it's done well, you think, oh, okay, I can see what you're doing there. You're trying to think of perhaps a slightly longer term plan and bring in the academy products and so on, which they have done, you know, in fairly recent years. And he then was sort of alluding to that under Bowley in this new regime where he kind of, you know, he left the club. He's like, they've just signed tons and tons of young players who are not ready for the big time yet. They've got talent, they've got great potential, they've paid way over the odds for some of them, of course. And it's almost like it's kind of cut off the production line from the academy, which has been fairly successful, you'd have to say. So again, like the regime change, and we totally get and understand and you know why there was a regime change, for crying out loud, of course, not getting into that. But it does seem like that when you said there, Jim, it hasn't settled. Will it ever settle? I mean, you think about Manchester United under the Glazers. You know, that's never really settled. And I understand that they've, with Ferguson, of course, he papered over a lot of the cracks because, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson. You know, you go lower down the leagues. I mean, you know, you can start picking out all these examples. Look at Venky's at Blackburn. I know that seems ridiculous to mention them in the context of Manchester United and Chelsea, but it's still an ownership that's been there for a long time that is still disliked, that's still not settled.
Is it not just that them kind of investing in young players that didn't come through their academy? Isn't that not just what big companies do and people with money and really wealthy people do in a recession? They invest in assets.
Yeah.
So therefore, like these players that are investing in, you're not going to lose money on a 21-year-old who's, you know, even if they're English. You know,
if you're paying that much money, though,
if they were going to
sell Caicedo or Enzo for
they'd never get that
tomorrow, they're never getting it back.
Right. But that might also be true of a lot of the young players that they've signed, who are just sort of knocking about in this huge, huge squad, not really having a place.
Well, that's the problem. They are those young players. They've paid established player money for players who still have growth to do and maybe don't have the environment around them to develop them at the pace that they should be developing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. I think that is a fair comment. Speaking of trying to save situations, we'd move on to Sean Dyche, everybody. Now, he was recently a guest at an event hosted by Sukhi Astama, where the Labour leader wanted to get some ideas for his party if they indeed do go on and form the next UK government. And who better, Jim, than Sean Dyche to advise on that? Yeah. Because let's be honest, this country right now, he's looking over its shoulder at relegation.
It is. It is. And it's been appalling on set pieces. Appalling on set pieces.
Do you not think that, like, I mean, it's hardly Tony Blair and, you know, Oasis turning up at number 10, is it?
Specifically Noel Gallagher, might I add. There's no way Liam Gallagher's getting invited to number 10.
He might get in. He's not going to be invited.
He'd be a face at the window, I've no doubt.
I don't think he'd come these days, would he?
Oh, I think he would owe us that. Very much so, yeah. But yeah, Sean Dyche was there.
National Service, back in.
Yeah, I tell
mainly
you
for young people in the Liverpool area.
Well, careful.
They've got too much downtime.
I tell you who else was there. Peter Reid.
Oh,
what on earth is going on?
Well, it was presumably in a conference room in a hotel. There was a bar nearby. He happened to be there.
I think he's more going to be brought in as like sort of DEFRA recycling minister.
Yeah. You walk in, he's
tyres
got a
for
desk.
Seats. Tyres for seats.
He's sitting on a tyre.
So there we go. The ultimate recycling.
That's right. Graham Lasso was there.
Guardian Night Czar.
Yeah,
reckon,
presumably
yeah.
to tell them all what the Guardian were reporting. Yeah. Kelly Cates.
Yeah, actually, she should be the Night Czar because she's obviously worked every single evening for the last 15 years, pretty That's much.
Right. And Clive Tilsley.
Clive's just happy to be there.
Old Tildo.
Mm.
It's just Minister for Fertility. Didn't he write a sexy
book?
You
might have to clarify those guys.
He's prolific sexually. He is a monster.
His book had a lot.
He's happily married, by the way.
Happily married. Yeah, and she's exhausted.
But happy.
Yeah.
Very happy.
You talk about football DNA.
Yeah.
All over the gap.
Jim, you read his book. Do you want to leave it there?
He's a lovely man. Interviewed him about it.
Genuinely lovely man.
There were just lots of references to sex in it, which was
not
surprising.
Expecting. Yeah.
Were they the best bits of the book?
All of it was the best bit.
Okay, well done. Well done.
Team sheets and silk sheets. Yeah. The Clive Tilsley story.
Who out of Sean Dyche, Peter Reid, Graham Lasso, Kelly Cates and Clive Tilsley would you take advice on if you were running the country? I mean, he's obviously could take advice from them all.
I mean, I don't know any of them.
You know Clive Tilsley.
Peter Reid.
Yeah. I think Peter Reid might
Keir Starmer?
You can't have the bloke who's tipped to be the next Prime Minister giving you advice about how he's going to what's going to be like of his Prime Minister.
Dyche just having a go at him about Jimmy Savile.
I mean, it is going to be
3 hours.
It is going to be Dyche there.
It's going to be Dyche, isn't it? Yeah.
It's getting a bit Dyche-y. All right. Well, if it goes well, then we know who to give the credit to. My goodness. Right, everybody. Tonight, Manchester City face FC Copenhagen. Real Madrid, of course, play RB Leipzig. Now, Netflix are set to release a behind-the-scenes documentary series about Manchester City's treble win last season. How about that? Another PR exercise, guys.
Everyone loves an underdog story.
Yeah.
Although, if it follows the sort of 48 hours Jack Grealish had post Champions League win,
that could be something.
Ah, that would
prodigy video.
Has anyone ever has anyone ever had a better time than that?
I don't think so.
He looked like he was having it. Yeah,
magnificent.
You've got to pace yourself.
And has anyone had a more severe hangover than that?
And he's got the photo to prove it.
Do you not think
that one when he's on the bus, it's there?
Yeah.
Do you not think that, like, at that age, you are impervious to that sort of stuff? And also, you could probably get some futuristic space drips because he's a footballer.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I think let's be fair, he'll have a very high metabolism.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
You'd have thought so, yeah. I mean, I'm still jaded by Netflix's attempt at a football documentary with that Juventus thing. What was it, about 6 or 7 years ago?
That was the worst. And I think,
Andy, it was so shit.
It was absolutely
painful. If you think, everybody, if you hadn't seen that, if you think that some of these documentaries that we see about football clubs, and the All or Nothing ones, I think are okay. Like, it's obviously, you're not going to go in there and undercover, like real kind of stuff that the club doesn't want you to undercover. So, you know, you have to have a little bit of reality, but often they are sort of quite PR-y exercises, to be fair. But I mean, this one was just off the scale. It was like, you know, Soviet stuff. But, do you know what I mean? It was just so crap.
It was so bad that subsequent documentaries have been better because of it.
Well, you would hope so, but I mean, Andy, the way it feels that way.
I did
the voiceover. Like, honestly, like Juventus, they would be 1-0 down at home to like Lecce, and then they pull it round 2-1. They win with two goals in the 56th and the 77th minute, and he would go on about as if they'd just done a Manchester United against Bayern in 99.
You know what? You've just described Jose Mourinho at Roma there. But I would like to think that after the Amazon series, they've maybe taken a bit of feedback and they approach it slightly differently this time.
I think
the thing is with the all or nothing things, the football ones really pale in comparison to the American football ones. Now, I'm not a great follower of American football, but I've watched a couple of those. And
Are they good or bad?
Really good.
Right.
And I guess it's because of American sporting culture, that whole idea that, you know, journalists and media are invited in the locker room. It just
makes the players' willies. That's how close the relationship is.
Yeah.
Mm.
I was going to say LeBron James eating a sandwich, but if you like.
No, but you can, Andy.
If you like.
You and I have both done it.
This is news to me.
Yeah. Oh, I've mentioned that before in New York City FC. I went into the... we were invited to go into the dressing room and I was going...
And have a look at the willies.
Not for that particular purpose. You know.
Line up.
Yeah. You
1 to 11.
No, when Lampard was... I talked about this before. When we went in...
Yes.
And the players are literally coming out of the shower.
Right.
Yes. Towels wrapped around them and all. And I was just like... What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, can we not, just, lads? Let's all go outside for crying out loud. Let them fish.
Show some
respect. But nudity aside, I think the idea that you're more open with the media.
Well.
That like it's a difference between US and European sporting culture, really, isn't it? I just wonder: is European sporting culture capable of letting film crews in to make an interesting enough documentary series? Yeah,
possibly.
Mm.
So I don't know. Netflix, you've got a chance here. Don't bugger it up. Manchester City also have a chance to go through to the next round. It's unlikely that they're going to bugger it up at home to FC Copenhagen, Andy. You would agree.
Very much so.
Mm. What about Real Madrid, though? RB Leipzig.
I love that you've just... That's all the consideration that needs.
Well, okay.
You're right. No, you're right. Okay. I just enjoyed how correct that was.
Well, obviously, Real Madrid are massive favourites, but you look at the team that Leipzig... picked at the weekend and they left their top scorer Lois Openda out and only brought him on for the second half in which he scored and was pretty good. And, you know, he's one of the best strikers in Europe. They still think they've got a chance.
Mm.
And the team that they picked and the way that they played their quite challenging away game at Bochum, which they did actually win in the end, at the weekend suggests that they think they are still in this.
Well, and Real Madrid are also currently committing the cardinal sin of football. They're not playing to the whistle.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, score your goals in proper time, I would say.
Yeah. But Jude can really go for it tonight because he's going to have a little bit of time off, isn't he?
How many games has he been banned for in La Liga?
La Liga haven't decided the length of the ban yet, so we'll wait and see. Could be anywhere between two games in a month.
Okay, we shall see. Well, all eyes on them tonight, everybody. It's going to be a predictable round of the Champions League, one would think. But you never know with the old soccer ball. Right, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patron subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. And if you're not a Patron subscriber, sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. And of course, everybody can follow us on Twitter, which is currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Andy B.
Thank you.
Thank you, PED.
Bye.
Thank you, Jimmy C.
Thank you.
We'll see you all very, very soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.